You are listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and I am so excited that today is going to be a good day. Because let me tell you, the last 2 weeks were a little bit rough, and I have to say, I produce out of Madison, out of the Mad Radio Studios that used to be on University Avenue, about 7 minutes from my house, so easy peasy. And they moved to a beautiful facility downtown, a block from the Capitol, in which I had to go through all of the wonderful road construction on University Avenue. And then in addition to that, an ambulance decided to join us on my way here last week. And once I overcame that hurdle, I realized that some of the college students were moving in. So that roadway was a big mess. So once I overcame that hurdle, I got to the parking ramp where Concerts on the Square is playing, and the garage was full. So I ended up getting here about 3 minutes before the show started, once all was said and done, and couldn't log into Zoom to connect with my guests. So it was interesting. So if you listened last week, I apologize, and I only share that story because the struggle is real, and I feel like if anybody knows how hard it is to get somewhere on time, it's caregivers and parents of small children. So enough about me, though. Nobody wants to hear about my woes, but what we do want to hear about is our guest, Phil Calissa, from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. She's going to be speaking with us today about the Self-Determination Conference and self-determination itself and why it is so important. We are also going to be talking about supported decision-making, which empowers individuals to make informed decisions about their life that protects their rights and ensures their safety and privacy. Welcome, Phil. Before we begin, can you start by telling listeners what the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities is and what your role is at the board?
Thank you, Liza. The Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, otherwise known as BPDD, is the state of Wisconsin's DD Council. Every state has a DD Council that was created through the DDE Act. And we are charged with creating statewide change for the developmental disability community. And those changes are to improve services and resources and improving access to those services for people with developmental disabilities. And we believe that people with disabilities should have the same choices and opportunities that all Wisconsinites enjoy.
And you guys do amazing work. I've been involved in some board projects and attended some of your events, and I just can't say enough. So if you have a loved one that has a developmental disability, please connect. It'll be well worth your time. And what is your role at the board?
Thank you for that. I am a program and policy analyst What I do is I do program management. I do work on projects mostly related to self-determination and self-advocacy. I support the statewide self-advocacy organization, which is People First Wisconsin. I manage this conference that we're going to be talking about. And I also manage the supported decision-making project. And we'll talk about that a little bit later as well.
That sounds like a lot. I wasn't getting tired listening to it, but I can only imagine what it takes to get up and do all of that every single day. So thank you for the work and the work that you do to support people with disabilities. But before we talk about the Self-Determination Conference that is coming up in October, can you tell listeners a little bit about the history of the Self-Determination Conference and why self-determination is so important that you made a whole conference around it?
Yes, it is an important topic. And, you know, this is our 16th conference. The first one was held in 2007, and it was really in response to the changes in our long-term care system. At that time, family care and IRIS were just starting to be implemented statewide. Those are two waiver services that we have here in Wisconsin to support people with disabilities and frail elders. And we really felt that there were things that people needed to know about in order to maximize their resources and get the life that they needed. It was at this time with IRIS starting that we started to talk about self-directed supports. And as that became a reality in Wisconsin, we knew if we wanted people to be strong advocates, we really needed to provide them the education and training about resources available to them in the new system. So the conference really focuses on providing training and education on how someone can be more in charge of their lives and get the support that they need to achieve those goals.
So it's hard. It's hard for me to picture self-determination without thinking about confidence or having a level of confidence. Many of the participants of the Board for People with Developmental Disabilities events are genuinely committed to your organization and all the work that you do to support them. And when I go to these events, I can feel and see the confidence in the people there. I know that you've been with the board for a while. Can you tell listeners how you have seen people blossom in their self-determination and confidence by continuing to participate in your offerings?
Sure. I know it's really fantastic to watch, and I'm amazed every year at the stories that people share of courage and also of encouragement of each other. The conference really kind of brings all that together and helps everyone learn and network together to really achieve what they want to achieve in their lives, whether it be, you know, living on their own, getting a meaningful job, whatever it is that they are interested in doing in their lives. The conference can help put that together, and self-determination really is at the forefront of that. Just to backtrack a little bit, you know, the conference has two main tenets that we really feel strongly about. And the first one is nothing about us without us. Self-advocates are at the forefront of this conference. We require every session to be led or co-led by a person with a disability because we believe they are the experts in their lives. And by sharing their stories and people that support them, sharing how they help support those goals and outcomes, that's really where the power of creativity and of self-determination really comes in. And I think the other tenet that we have that we feel really strongly about is that we're all in this together. So self-advocates, family members, and professionals that support them all have a role to play in moving these goals forward. And we don't have sessions just for self-advocates and other sessions just for professionals. We really believe that in order to move forward, we need to be hearing the same things, listening to the same things, and working together to move the agenda forward. So those are really important things. And I think that really empowers our self-advocates. This is their conference, and the professionals that support them are there really to just cheer them on, support them, and, you know, help them in whatever way they can. And so we really see people's lives transformed, be it a self-advocate or a family member or even professionals who, you know, really see people with disabilities in a different light after the conference.
I love that. And I was thinking about it as you were talking about the, just the self-determination piece a little bit in my own personal story. So I have a 19-year-old son with autism and intellectual disability. And, you know, some of us, most of us, all of us have some self-determination every day. We have goals and long-term plans and things that we want to accomplish. And people with intellectual disabilities have that as well. But I think there's some support, right, that needs to be around that to explain that in concepts that are meaningful, to help them know what that means, and to have the instill the curiosity in them to see, you know, what are they working towards? What are their goals? So it is just a wonderful opportunity for the participants to learn and grow. And you're right. I think everybody that attends, right down to honestly, probably the catering staff that works in the Kalahari, leaves a better person than when they came. So I encourage everyone to check that out. And I know that most of the work that the board does revolves around not only self-determination, but advocacy. If someone listening know somebody with a disability, but maybe that person or that family hasn't gotten to a place yet where they've worked on advocacy skills, because I think it's something you have to build up to. Can you explain why that's important to really work on those advocacy skills if you're caring for someone with intellectual disability?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the power of sharing your story is one way of advocating. I think by advocating, it helps everyone understand what's needed. You know, if you don't speak up for yourself, things are going to happen for you, whether you like it or not. And sometimes those are things that people think is just fine. And so we really want to make sure that people with disabilities, you know, have that opportunity to speak up.
And you guys do a wonderful job at it. My son has participated in some of your events, and sometimes he's too strong of an advocate. I got to tell you, he likes to put me in my place. Come back after this.
No such thing.
Yes. Come back after this short break, and we will learn more about self-advocacy, determination, and supported decision making. Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, where we uplift caregivers through education and support while also lifting up their invaluable role in society. I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand, and I've been talking with Phil Calissa from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities about the importance of advocacy skills and self-determination. So the board will host their annual self-determination conference in Wisconsin Dells at the Kalahari Resort, October 16th through the 18th. The self-determination conference this year is titled Be Curious, Explore the Possibilities. Phil, can you explain to listeners the meaning of the name behind Be Curious and Explore the Possibilities?
Sure. Well, we always like to have a little fun with our titles. And really what this stems from is, you know, what we were talking about earlier, that people with disabilities often don't have the same opportunities that their peers, their typically developing peers, may have. And so we really want to give people with disabilities the opportunity to explore some things that they just may not have had the opportunity to. So we are always trying to think of new ideas and new things that they can try and experience so that they can decide for themselves what they like, what they don't like, and what they might want help in exploring further.
So who is this conference geared towards, or who would you recommend attend?
Yeah, so, you know, the conference, as I mentioned, is really, you know, started from wanting to educate people on this new long-term care system. So it does focus on adults with disabilities, their family members, providers, and caregivers. Transition age students are also welcome because it's, you know, you have to start planning early when you're when you have a student with disabilities, and educators. So we have something for everyone.
And I just want to take a step back because I keep on saying the full name of the board, which is the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. But it really is all disabilities. Correct. I mean, that your organization represents.
Well, we are focused on developmental disabilities, and that's not to say that what we advocate for and work for doesn't affect positively other disabilities. Because I think, you know, we are all in the same boat.
Sure.
But our federal mandate is specifically for people with developmental disabilities.
Okay. I just didn't want to discourage somebody that may have a different disability to check out your website or to check out the conference if they didn't necessarily have an intellectual disability.
Right. And for the conference, for the conference, if you are using long-term care services, you will most likely find something at the conference that interests you.
Gotcha. Okay. So I saw on the website that you're having two keynote presentations. The first one is Building Curiosity, Courage, and Mindfulness. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that presentation will offer?
Sure. So the presenters for that keynote are Brian Kenny and Alex Olson. And Brian is an educator. He owns his own team building business and specializes in working with organizations to improve leadership skills and develop team building skills. And Alex Olson is a self-advocate who is going to share his experiences and how he built some of those skills to get a great job in his community. Brian will also have an interactive game for us to play around being curious, which will be fun. And they'll also be doing some a breakout session. And Brian's going to be working with a group of students from the Holman School District. Their project search students will be facilitating some interactive games on Tuesday afternoon. So we have lots of different types of ways that people can explore their curiosity and kind of step out a little bit out of their comfort zone to try some things out.
That sounds exciting. And I've had the opportunity to meet Brian and listen to Brian speak. And I invited him once to speak at an event that we had at our school district when my son was in school. And he's dynamic. You know, there's never, I don't think there was ever a dull moment, or probably will not be a dull moment at this conference either with Brian. He's an excellent speaker. And the second one is Building Self-Advocacy and Leadership Skills. This keynote has a whole lineup of amazing individuals. Can you explain to listeners of this session what they can be prepared to walk away with?
Oh, I sure do. This group of self-advocate leaders are really dynamic. I'm always excited, and people that attend the conference are really looking for those true Wisconsin stories and that leadership from the self-advocacy community. And so these folks all have taken some sort of training on improving their leadership skills and have had the opportunity to put those skills to good use. And they'll share their experience with the audience and talk about the amazing opportunities that have opened up to them as a result of learning those skills. Several of our self-advocates have been asked to present nationally at different conferences. You know, we have Cindy Bentley, who is the executive director of People First in Wisconsin, who has an intellectual disability. And it's just a great lineup.
I believe it, because you guys don't just create advocates, you create super amazing advocates over there at the board. When we come back, we are going to talk a little bit about supported decision making and how it is an alternative to guardianship. You're listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. We've been talking with Phil Calissa from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, and we've been talking about the upcoming Self-Determination Conference being held in Wisconsin Dells October 16th through the 18th. And this is not the type of conference where you're stuck in a chair listening for 2 days. It's very interactive. I even saw on Tuesday night that there is going to be a DJ. And the thing that I really love about attending these conferences is the social connections. You know, for a lot of folks, they attend year after year, and they really start to look forward to reconnecting with their friends and their peers. Have you noticed that as well? And I guess a follow-up to that would be, what are some of the social opportunities that are available?
I have noticed that, and I often say that it feels very much like a family reunion. Oftentimes, people are coming from all over the state, and this is their only opportunity to connect with each other. So people are happy to be there. It's a great opportunity to network with new people. So reconnecting with old people is great, or with old friends is good, and connecting with new ones is also good. We spend, we put a lot of time into networking. We think it's just as important as the sessions. And so we allow a good amount of time between sessions for people to do that, to visit with micro businesses and exhibitors. And this year we're going to have a curiosity corner where they can see something that maybe they haven't seen before or heard about before. So that's going to be fun. But we do have the dance on Tuesday night after a very long day of sessions. We find that it's really good to get out there on the dance floor and shake it up a bit. I'm really excited this year because we have a new DJ, Andrew Patterson, also known as DJ Buffet.
DJ Andrew, Buffet. All right. Let's give a shout out to DJ Buffet.
In the house. Andrew is a person with a disability who runs his own DJ business. So we are very excited for him to join us at the conference for the very first time.
Oh, it sounds like it is going to be an amazing time. And I've gone before and had a great time. And it's at the Kalahari. So in addition to everything, you've got the Kalahari, right? And all the fun things that the Dells has to offer. I know from personal experience that if you have children's long-term waiver or IRIS funding, they sometimes cover registration expenses. Do you know if that is true for this event? And if it does, how does that work?
Yes. So the long-term care waiver, the family care waiver, or the IRIS waiver all can support individuals to go to the conference. They would allow for registration to be put on their service plan. And you would start that conversation with your case manager or management team or IRIS consultant, and they can help you work that through.
That sounds good. And then I also saw on the website that there's a limited number of scholarships available. Can you tell listeners how they could look into a scholarship if they would like to attend, don't have funding that would cover it, and the cost might be a concern?
Yes. So we do have scholarships. I wish we had much more money to give towards scholarships. We do try to give as many as possible for both registration as well as for lodging. So if you're a person with a disability and you don't have other resources that you can tap into, whether it's one of the waiver services or private pay of some sort, a scholarship could be available to you to help you pay for registration and or for the lodging at the Kalahari.
Wonderful. And lastly, I don't want to forget to mention that you can attend this event virtually. Can you tell listeners more about that as far as how that works and how they could sign up?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the outcomes from the pandemic was that we all had to go virtual. And so rather than cancel the conference in 2020, we decided to try out the virtual option. We had over 1,000 people register for the conference virtually Wow. that year. As a result, we recorded all of the sessions and all of the keynote sessions, and as well as some other activities. And so 2020, 2021, we had just a virtual conference. And then in 2022, we were able to get back to in-person conferences, but we continued to offer the virtual options because we realized that it tapped into an audience that sometimes may not be able to attend the conference for whatever reason in person. So we still offer that right now, and you can register for that just like you would the in-person. There's just a little drop-down box in the registration portal that you, select the virtual option. And we will then send you Zoom links for all of the sessions and the keynotes just prior to the conference so that you can access all of that.
Okay. And I started the show by telling the story how the struggle is real for me to get anywhere on time. And if I was to go to this year, I'm sure it would come up in my mind on like October 15th. Hey, Caden, let's get in the car and go to this conference. But if I do that, I'm going to be out of luck, right? So there's registration closes, did you say September 15th?
September 15th. And yes. And not only does the registration close, but it'll be very unlikely that you would get a room at the Kalahari at that late date.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's always a concern. So let's give out the web site information one more time, where people can go to learn more and to register.
So you can register for the conference directly from the conference webpage, which is wi-sdc.com. And when you get to that website, you'll see the registration link or button. You'll also see a button for the brochure, which is we'll have some of the things that we talked about today. And if you scroll down towards the bottom, you will also see all of the archived sessions that I just mentioned that we did virtually in 20 and 21, where and also in 2022. So you can check out some of the old conference sessions if you're interested. It'll give you a little bit of a flavor for what it's like, but you know, nothing really compares to being there in person.
I would agree, but that is a cool offering. Can you say that website address just one more time for me?
Sure. wi-sdc.com.
Self-determination conference. www.thewisconsinboardforpeoplewithdementia.com. And if you misplaced the piece of paper that you wrote that down on, I'm sure that you can go, that you could do a Google search for Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities. And with a few clicks, you'll end up right where you need to be. Thank you for sharing all of the information about that. I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about supported decision making. So we've been talking about how important it is to instill self-determination and advocacy skills in our loved ones with disabilities. So this next topic goes right in line with that, in my opinion. Can you tell listeners about what supported decision making is and what it isn't?
Sure. So supported decision making is a legal alternative to guardianship that allows a person with a disability or an aging adult to get the support that they need to make complex decisions. The person is always in charge of those decisions and has the right to make those decisions. It does not transfer the right to anyone else. Support decision making uses supporters of the person's choosing to help them with those decisions. And the role of the supporter is to help them understand complex documents or information. Supporters can attend meetings with the individual. They can share questions or concerns, and they can also help communicate the individual's decisions or preferences to, say, you know, their doctor or their bank teller or whoever.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, at least 1.5 million adults in the United States are under guardianship right now. And that number could actually be much higher due to the fact that there's just lack of data out there. And the number of people with the number of individuals with intellectual or developmental disabilities under guardianship is expected to increase over the next few decades. Due to enhanced medical care, many people with intellectual disabilities will outlive their parents and family caregivers. And data suggest that by the year 2030, there will be several million individuals over the age of 60 with intellectual disabilities in the U.S. who will be at risk of guardianship. Phil, can you tell me why the board supports supported decision making, and what are some of the downfalls of guardianship?
I know we believe that people with disabilities have the right to make their own choices and to identify the people in their lives that they want to help them make those choices and reach their goals. And we also know that based on the statistics you just mentioned, that guardianship has been often the first choice rather than the last resort. And there are things like supported decision making, powers of attorney for finances or health cares, even a simple release of information that can easily help and make, and address the concerns that people have make them sort of jump to guardianship initially. So we really want people to think about that as a last option. People with disabilities need support in their lives. They don't really need their rights taken away from them in order to get that.
And you had mentioned, because this is kind of a new world for me. I mean, I'm a believer in the supported decision making. I've printed off some of that paperwork as I share to you off air. But you mentioned power of attorney. Can you, for those that don't really understand this process, myself included, how does power of attorney play in? And, you know, how is that different than guardianship or?
Well, powers of attorney are very different because they're very specific to healthcare or finances, one or the other, or you could have both. But it is an arrangement that permits others to act on the individual's behalf. So, but it is limited to that specific you know, entity, the either the medical or financial issues.
Okay, so help me understand this. Can I opt for supported decision making, but have a power of attorney when it comes to myself, my son's healthcare only?
Yes, they okay. can work in tandem.
Okay, and the same with the finances. Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, I said that I always believed in supported decision making for my son, but there are some cases out there that I get scared that he'll be taken advantage of. So I want to talk about that more when we come back. I'm talking with Phil Calissa from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities regarding supported decision making versus, I guess, guardianship. Listening to the Empowered Caregiver Show, and I am your host, Liza Hellenbrand. I've been talking with Phil Calissa from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities about supported decision making. Supported decision making allows individuals with disabilities to make choices about their own lives with the support from a team of people that they choose. Individuals with disabilities choose people they know and trust to be part of the supported network to help them with decision making. So I was saying before break that I have always been a believer in that for my son. I've always wanted him to make as many of his own choices as possible. And to be honest, from an early age, I always tried to offer up many choices to him so that he could see that there's many choices out there to choose from, you know, right down to what kind of things do you want to have for dinner. So I'm all on board. But what I worry about is that he would get taken advantage of, you know, that he's going to answer the telemarketing call and end up buying a timeshare or something crazy like that. So if you go the route of supported decision making, are there safeguards against for your loved one that might make what would be perceived as a bad choice or decision?
Yeah, well, who among us has not ever made a bad decision, right?
I've never made a bad financial decision, Phil, ever, except for that one time earlier today.
Right. And in fact, you know, bad decisions help us learn, right? I mean, that's how we learn what's good, what's bad, you know, what not to do next time. You know, I understand the concern, Liza. You know, yesterday I was just listening to a news show and they were talking about telemarketing scams and the best way to deal with potential scam calls. And we all have to worry about those types of calls. But by practicing what to do, by considering options that are available, like, you know, daily withdrawal limits on your bank account. You can set that up with your bank very easily. You can have two-party signatures for check writing. Those are things that can help you sort of manage that concern, if that, in fact, is one of the concerns that you have. But I think, you know, we really have to go back to self-determination and, you know, what studies have shown us that people who are more self-determined are healthier, they are more independent, they are more likely to have jobs that are better paying jobs, and they're better able to recognize and avoid and resist abuse when it happens to them. So really, you know, the way you combat that is with information, and you, you know, you set up the safeguards that you need in order for that to be an okay risk for you know, you to take or your son to take.
All right. I'm a believer. You got me over that hump, because I do really, I do really agree that I you know, I see, unfortunately, sometimes guardians, I guess, caregivers that have the best of intentions and want the most for the person that they're caring for. And so they're signing them up for this and sending them here and doing this. And that person really doesn't have any say. They're just along for the ride. And it's almost like with some folks, they just sit and wait to be told what to do, because they're so accustomed to it. And it really breaks my heart. It really does, because they have their own opinions and ideas and things within them that they want. And I don't know if it's a codependency thing or what, but I love what you're doing. I love what you're trying to instill in people with disabilities. I know, however, a lot of people obtain guardianship so that they can be in a position to support their loved one with ease, right? You have full control. Many places will not talk to a parent after a certain age, such as I've run into this personally with Social Security or medical providers. So how does that work if you do not have guardianship?
Sure. Well, first, let me say that as a parent, you will always be there to support your loved ones. And being a parent is the greatest role you could have in their lives. But when you become a guardian, you enter into a legal relationship with your child. And it's not the same as being a parent. So that's very different than you know, sort of you're exerting your parental, you know, controls
sure.
over someone.
I'm mom, so, do what I say. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I said so. But so it really does, it does change the relationship and the dynamics sometimes of that relationship with your child. So, you know, I think, you know, one of the dangers of guardianship is an overstepping of one's legal rights. And so, you know, your question about communicating with certain entities or institutions, the supported decision making agreement can help with that. Places like Social Security, banks, medical facilities, they will all have their own release of information forms that an individual can sign and designate a person to receive information or, you know, be able to talk to them. Those are really simple forms that don't require an attorney or don't require going to court for. And, you know, as we mentioned before, things like a power of attorney for healthcare and finances, those are also things that you could consider in that role of supporting your loved one.
Well, I want to make sure that we get to this before we run out of time. We just have a few minutes. What does the board offer to help people interested in learning more about supported decision making?
We have on our website, you can download all of the forms that we have at no charge, be it supported decision making or any other resources that you would like. And we're also happy to mail a copy of the forms to you. But we have created a supported decision making toolkit and a booklet explaining what it is, how to use it. It includes the actual legal supported decision making agreement document and other resources. I believe on our website, we have a webinar that we've done a couple of times now in the past, you know, just going through what supported decision making is. And we also have those resources in Spanish and Hmong.
You guys are full of resources, help, and support in creating great advocates for Wisconsin's future. I want to thank you, Phil Clissa from the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, for speaking with us, with me tonight. Be sure to check out their website and sign up for the Self-Determination Conference that will be taking place in Wisconsin Dells October 16th through the 18th. We know that caregiving can be hard, and you've got this.